Equations are classified by the highest power, value of the exponent, of their unknowns. If this is 1, the equation is of first degree. If this is 2, the equation is of second degree, and so on. Equations of higher degree than 1 yield multiple possible values for their unknown quantities. These values are known as roots. The first degree equation, the linear equation. 3x minus 9 equals 0. Root x equals 3. Chapter 1. Thursday, December 16th to Friday, December 17th. Lisbeth Salander pulled her sunglasses down to the tip of her nose and squinted from beneath the brim of her sun hat. She saw the woman from room 32 come out of the hotel side entrance and walk to one of the green and white striped chaise longues beside the pool. Her gaze was fixed on the ground, and her progress seemed unsteady. Salander had seen her only at a distance. She reckoned the woman was around 35, but she looked as though she could be anything from 25 to 50. She had shoulder-length brown hair, an oval face, and a body that was straight out of a mail-order catalogue for lingerie. She had a black bikini, sandals, and purple-tinted sunglasses. She was American and spoke with a southern accent. She dropped her yellow sun hat next to the chaise longue and signalled to the bartender at Ella Carmichael's bar. Salander put her book down on her lap and sipped her iced coffee before reaching for a pack of cigarettes. Without turning her head, she shifted her gaze to the horizon. She could just see the Caribbean through a group of palm trees and the rhododendrons in front of the hotel. A yacht was on its way north towards St. Lucia or Dominica. Further out, she could see the outline of a grey freighter heading south in the direction of Guyana. A breeze made the morning heat bearable, but she felt a drop of sweat trickling into her eyebrow. Salander did not care for sunbathing. She had spent her days as far as possible in shade, and even now was under the awning on the terrace. And yet she was as brown as a nut. She had on khaki shorts and a black top. She listened to the strange music from steel drums flowing out of the speakers at the bar. She could not tell the difference between Sven Ingvars and Nick Cave, but steel drums fascinated her. It seemed hardly feasible that anyone could tune an oil barrel, and even less credible that the barrel could make music like nothing else in the world. She thought those sounds were like magic. She suddenly felt irritated and looked again at the woman, who had just been handed a glass of some orange-coloured drink. It was not Lisbeth Salander's problem, but she could not comprehend why the woman stayed. For 4 nights, ever since the couple had arrived, Salander had listened to the muted terror being played out in the room next door to hers. She had heard crying and low, excitable voices, and sometimes the unmistakable sound of slaps. The man responsible for the blows, Salander assumed he was the woman's husband, had straight dark hair parted down the middle in an old-fashioned style, and he seemed to be in Grenada on business. What kind of business, Salander had no idea, but every morning the man appeared with his briefcase in a jacket and tie and had coffee in the hotel bar before he went outside to look for a taxi. He would come back to the hotel in the late afternoon when he took a swim and sat with his wife by the pool. They had dinner together in what on the surface seemed to be a quiet and loving way. The woman may have had a few too many drinks, but her intoxication was not obnoxious. Each night, the commotion in the next-door room had started just as Salander was going to bed with a book about the mysteries of mathematics. It did not sound like a full-on assault. As far as Salander could tell through the wall, it was one repetitive, tedious argument. The night before, Salander had not been able to contain her curiosity. She had gone out to the balcony to listen through the couple's open balcony door. For more than an hour the man had paced back and forth in the room, declaring that he was a jerk who didn't deserve her. Again and again he said that she must think he was a fraud. No, she would answer, she didn't. And she tried to calm him. He became more intense and seemed to give her a shake. So at last she gave him the answer he wanted. Yes, you are a fraud. And he immediately took this as a pretext to berate her. He called her a whore, which was an accusation that Salander would have taken measures to combat if it had been directed at her. It had not been, but nevertheless she thought for a long time about whether she ought to take some sort of action. Salander had listened in astonishment to this rancorous bickering, which all of a sudden ended with something that sounded like a slap in the face. She had been on the point of going into the hotel corridor to kick in her neighbour's door, when silence descended over the room. Now, as she scrutinised the woman by the pool, she could see a faint bruise on her shoulder and a scrape on her hip, but no other injury.